Well, today we are in part 6 of 7 of our series 40 Days in the Word, and I hope that it's been a good series for you as we've talked about different reasons why we need to be in the Word. And through our small groups that have been meeting, we've been talking about different methods to study the Word and to study the Word on your own. And today we're going to look at three of those methods. The main purpose of 40 Days in the Word through the small groups and through the material that we've been presenting on Sundays is to get us into the habit of getting into the Word of God on a daily basis. And I know that it's not an easy thing for all of us to do, but it's something that's crucial for our spiritual growth and for our maturity in Christ. When we look at God's Word, we need to remember that it's all useful and beneficial. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." Every part of Scripture is there for a reason, and every part of Scripture has benefit to us today. But it's not just to read something to get something for us. It's God's gift to us. It is what God has given to us as His revelation to us. Now, there's 6 methods that we learned about in the small groups, and maybe your small group is a little behind, but those methods are the pronounce it method, the picture it method, the probe it method, the paraphrase it method, the personalize it method, and the pray it method. And each one of those methods is different, but they aren't all, and some of them work well for others. For some people, they don't work quite so great for. Today we're going to look at 3 of those methods, and the first method that I want to teach you about is the picture it method. This is probably one of my favorite methods, and that's why I picked it for today. So picture it method is basically when you're reading a narrative in Scripture, a story in Scripture, and you stop and think about, okay, what would it be like to be the person in that story? And what would it be like to think about the perspective of someone different in that story than what you may be reading at your first glance? So what I want to do is I want to look at this text from Acts, and we're going to read through it. It'll be on the screen or it's in your handout if you want to follow along. And we'll read this from Acts, starting in verse 26. "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and walk alongside the carriage.' Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' The man replied, 'How can I, unless someone instructs me?' And he urged Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of Scripture he had been reading was this: 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, was the prophet talking about someone else or himself?' So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?' He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing." I love that story. I love the power of God that is revealed in this story. And so, using the picture it method, what we want to do is we want to start to think, okay, let's put ourselves in the position of the eunuch. And as the story begins, we're reading Scripture, which we stop and think, okay, why would I be reading Scripture in the first place if I was a eunuch from Ethiopia? And you start to think, okay, so that's a little bit weird at the beginning. But then you start to think, okay, if I was the eunuch and I was reading the Scripture and I was confused about the Scripture, what would I be thinking and how would I be feeling about this scripture that I'm reading, about this passage from Isaiah? And so you're thinking about it from the position of the eunuch. And as you're reading along and you're reading aloud, suddenly this guy shows up next to your carriage and starts talking to you and says, do you understand what you're reading? So stop for a minute and think about, if you were the eunuch and that was happening, what would you be thinking about that guy who just happened to be walking by your carriage at this point? You don't know anything different. Who's listening to you read, which I don't know. If I was reading aloud to myself and someone came up and said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? I would not be quite so open to, hey, come up into my carriage. But then again, I probably, for one, wouldn't be reading out loud, and two, wouldn't be in a carriage. But if you were the eunuch, that's where you would be, okay? And so how do you feel as the eunuch then when he gets into the carriage and when he starts explaining to you this story of the Messiah and of Jesus, about him being the sheep led to the slaughter? Can you feel the presence right there? Do you feel what you would be thinking and feeling about when you were hearing these words and being explained to it? And then when the light bulb comes on and you realize that this is Jesus of Nazareth that's been crucified. And then as you're going along and he's giving you the gospel and he's telling you about baptism, that moment when you see the water and say, there's water, I want to be baptized. Do you feel the excitement that you get when you stop and think about that? I mean, I'm getting goosebumps. It's exciting. And so as you put yourself in the story, it comes alive in a different way for you. And so you think about that. And then you think about, okay, well, what if I was Philip in this passage? And what does Philip go through in this story? And so Philip starts off as an eavesdropper, right? And God tells him to eavesdrop on this guy who he doesn't really know who's in the chariot. He knows that it's someone important because they're riding in a chariot and he's the treasurer, so I'm assuming that it's going to be a nice chariot. And so he's walking up alongside, and I don't know if there were guards with him or other people. Someone's got to be driving the thing. So he's not just some lone guy on a stroll. I mean, this is a major processional from Ethiopia. And Philip, by the power of the Spirit, walks up alongside of the carriage and hears the guy reading, and stop and put yourself in that position. Would you go next to that carriage at all if you felt God was calling you to do that? Would you then walk alongside and interject yourself into this guy's dialogue that he's having with himself? And then when you got into the carriage, after being invited into the carriage, how would you feel at that point? I would be a little nervous, I think. I would probably have been nervous the whole time. But I would be a little anxious about, what if I say something wrong here? And this Ethiopian, as far as I know, ruler, doesn't like what I have to say. I could be out of the carriage very quickly. Or I could be searching for my life, I mean, at some point. And so you put yourself in that position, and then you give the gospel presentation. And then what is it like at that moment when the eunuch says, there's water, I want to be baptized? Now how do you feel as Philip? I mean, do you feel the excitement of this passage come alive as you take different steps and take different approaches to the text? It gets it into your mind in different ways, and it lets you picture these things. And that's why it's the picture it method. Now, it's great that we picture ourselves in this story and how it comes alive to us. But the most important thing when we're talking about Scripture is, how does it apply to our lives? What is the application? And that's your blank there. We always want to look for the application in a text. So if we look at this, maybe there is someone in our life that we need to approach about faith. Maybe there's someone in our life that is maybe having this dialogue with themselves and wondering what Scripture's about, or what God is about, or all of these questions that this person has, but we're not walking next to them in life. We're not listening to their questions. Maybe we're scared about getting into the carriage. Maybe we're scared that that's going to cause rejection or a hurt or something bad's going to happen to us because of that, taking that step of faith. Maybe there's someone in our life that needs us to help explain to them the message of the gospel. And maybe we will get to share the gospel with them and be there when they are baptized into the faith. Now that's some cool stuff right there. That's an awesome experience to be a part of that, to be allowed by God, to be used by God, to share your faith with someone and watch them come from a non-believer through to the point of baptism and then into the growth of their spiritual life. So what's a practical step that we can take from this? Is talk to someone about our faith this week. Someone needs to hear the message of the gospel. And so we need to be able to take that step of faith and talk to them about it. Our method number two is personalize it. So this is another very simple method. And this is one that you're going to insert your name into the text in place of the pronouns in the text. So in this text, we're going to use is John 1:9-10, a familiar text. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claimed we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. And so what we do in the personalize it method is we take this and we make this personal to us. And so now instead of saying, but if we confess our sins, we put our name in that text. And so I would read it, but if Kevin confesses his sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive Kevin's sins and to cleanse Kevin from all wickedness. If Kevin claims he has not sinned, Kevin is calling God a liar and that his word has no place in Kevin's heart. Read through that on your own now and put your name in that spot, just silently to yourself. It changes it, doesn't it? And we're not changing the meaning of the text, we're just making it more personal and realizing that this is a promise for all of us. And you can also change it into a statement of a promise and make it a prayer. You can say, but if I confess my sins to God, God is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all wickedness. If I claim to have not sinned, I am calling God a liar and showing that God's word has no place in my heart. And now we take it to the application stage. What sin in my life do I need to confess? And what sin do I need to accept the forgiveness and the confession for? Maybe there's something that I've done in my past and I'm holding on to that and saying I need to be punished for that or I need to have consequences for that. And I'm not allowing God to be forgiving me from what I have. Or maybe it's that I'm being too judgmental of other people. Maybe I'm saying, well, I'm not as bad as they are in their sin, so I must not be that bad. Because then I'm calling God a liar, aren't I? Because it says in this verse that if I say that I have no sin, then I am calling God a liar. And if we're calling God a liar because we're saying, well, that sin, at least I'm not sinning that bad, or I'm not sinning to that extent, then we're causing judgment on someone else. We're passing judgment on someone else. And who is the person that has the right to judge? Is it me? Is it you? No, it's God. And so when we say, well, I'm not sinning as bad as that person, we're passing judgment and we're calling God a liar because we're saying that we're not sinning like that. So our practical application for that would be, maybe I need to pray for someone specifically this week. Maybe I need to pray for my own heart this week, that God will allow me to feel the grace and the love and the acceptance of Christ's love. Or maybe there's that one person that I'm holding a grudge against that I really need to forgive, but I just can't do it on my own. And so maybe my prayer needs to be, God, help me forgive that person. because I need to not be calling you a liar and saying that I'm not sinning. But I need to forgive, and I need to let go of something that's holding me back. And so maybe that's your application. The third method is pray it. Pray it. And this borrows some ideas from the personalize it method, but its main point is to pray back the words of Scripture. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't pray well. I don't like to pray in front of people. Well, I'll give you a secret. I hate praying in front of people, too. Okay, it's not something I enjoy doing. But you know what? We're called to pray. And when you don't have the words to pray, or you say, I don't know the words that I'm supposed to use, well, first of all, it's just a conversation between you and God. But second of all, if you really don't know what to pray, go read Scripture and pray Scripture back to God. You know those words work. You know those words are good, right? So let's use those words as our words. And I don't mean to say work, and that's a bad use of the word. But we know that these words are God's words. So we read this, praise the Lord, who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skills for battle. He is my loving ally and my fortress, my tower of safety, my rescuer. He is my shield, and I take refuge in him. He makes the nations submit to me. O Lord, what are human beings that you should notice them, mere mortals that you should think about them? For they are like a breath of air, their days are like a passing shadow. And so if we change this into a prayer, and we make this our prayer, we say, praise you, Lord. You are my rock. You train my hands for war, and you give my fingers skill for battle. You are my loving ally and my fortress. You are my tower of safety. You are my rescuer. You are my shield, and I take refuge in you. You make the nations submit to you. O Lord, what am I that you should notice me? I, a mere mortal, that you should think about me. For I am like a breath of air, my days are like a passing shadow. Do you see how we take that and we make that our prayer to the Lord, and how much more powerful that can be when we stop and really think about this and really meditate on Scripture, because all Scripture is powerful and all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. So maybe for this application, I have something in my life that I'm not giving to God and I'm not trusting God in. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's something to do with a relationship with a family member. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe there's something that you're just not willing to trust God for. And you need to make this my prayer, your prayer today. Let's say, Lord, I praise you. You are my rock, and I'm going to trust in you, Lord, for my salvation and for my blessings to come from you, and my security and my promise and my hope to come from God and not from anything else. So those are the three things that I wanted to share with you today. Those are three of the six methods. And if you want to look at the other methods, we have two workbooks left. And so if you want to pick up a workbook, they're back on the table. Just grab that and take it with you. The fill-in-the-blank answers are found in the back of the workbook, so you're not missing anything there. But it goes through six different methods that you can use to meditate on and study and learn Scripture. And it's important that we're in God's Word as much as we can be, because if we want to know the mind of God, we have to know God's Word, and we have to read God's Word, His revelation to us, His specific and special revelation to us, to all mankind, is right here in this Word. And so if we want our relationship to God, with God, to grow, we need to be in God's Word and learning what God has already said to us. Would you pray with me? God, our Father, I thank you for the gift of your Word. I thank you that you have given us this revelation, God, these words that are so powerful, that are so meaningful. I pray that as we learn different methods to read your Word and to study your Word and to meditate on your Word, God, that your Word would become alive in us, that your Word would become living and active in our lives, and that it would be evidenced by the way that we act, by the way that we think, by the way that we carry ourselves, God. May it be always influenced by the power of your words. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and we thank you that he died on the cross for our sins. We thank you that through your word, we can read of this story and to find life and to forgiveness and grace. God bless each person that's here today. Help us all to live into the words that you have given us, and help us all to focus on those things that bring life and meaning and love to others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.